Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news at the start of another week. Will we end the week with some transfer activity? Only 4 weeks to go of this transfer window. Remember, United only have Tielemans and Santos. I would say we need 3 more major signings in 4 weeks. Will it happen? Well, if it's going to happen, it needs to start happening this week. So we've got talks of a Camavinga bid. We've got the latest on Lewis Hall and on Lewis Skelly. We've also got a very interesting list of targets for Manchester United this summer, which I think will generate a lot of conversation as well. Also, a few other bits to get into too, and some comments coming in from journalists, which I think are quite interesting as well this morning. But look, I want to start off with this Camavinga stuff because, ultimately, we're not in talks with anybody at the moment. I mean, we went through this last night. Man United are not in talks with any club as of 9 a.m., 10 a.m. this morning. We're not holding talks with Bournemouth for Scott. We're not holding talks with Newcastle for Hall. We're not holding talks with Roma for Kone. We're not holding talks with anybody. And remember, next week, the Rashford circus starts. And I don't think anybody's figured this out yet. So when you talk about 4 weeks left in the window, if we do nothing this week, it's all about Rashford next week, and then you're down to 2 weeks. Because when Rashford walks back next week with his trainers under his arm, it's the Rashford story. And Rashford can't help that. United can't do much about it. So next week's all going to be about Rashford. You know it is. So 2 weeks can go like that if we don't start doing something. Will we start doing something this week? Well, let's start off with Real Madrid, because basically Mourinho was not happy after Real Madrid's game at the weekend. And coming out of Spain, Camavinga is the player that Real Madrid would love to sell to Manchester United. Now, Camavinga has been resistant to being forced out of Real Madrid so far, but obviously they're looking to sign Rodri. There's a lot of players coming back. Tchouaméni isn't even back yet either. So that is a player that some people believe Man United are waiting on. They're waiting on Camavinga to figure out that he's not part of Real Madrid's plan so Man United can move ahead. A lot of people feel it's Camavinga. A lot of people don't think it's Tchouaméni. And remember, in relation to Tchouaméni, I don't intend to talk about him coming to Manchester United this morning. There's still people who weirdly, wildly think that he is the player. Remember with Tchouaméni, he doesn't come back to training until the middle of next week. So take a week and a half off the final 4 weeks. You'd have 2.5 weeks left of the window when Tchouaméni comes back. Real Madrid would then have to say to him straight away, you're up for sale. And with 2.5 weeks left, you've got to try and do a deal with Man United. Because no one's talking to Tchouaméni at the moment. No one's saying anything other than you've got a new contract. So he doesn't come back to training until the middle of next week when there'll be 2.5 weeks left of the window. Do you think Man United can do a deal for Tchouaméni in 2.5 weeks? I don't. So I think if we're doing any deal with Real Madrid, and remember, they've still got to sign Rodri, it probably would be Camavinga, because that's the player Mourinho wants out. That's the player Perez wants out. That's the player they want to make some money on. And is that the player that Man United are waiting on over Kone? We'll have to wait and see. But look, do you want Camavinga at Man United? Do I want Camavinga at Man United? I mean, at the end of the day, I just want a midfielder at Man United. I mean, and I can also, as I said to you last night, in relation to Kone, I think this is the sort of level we're going to end up with. So I'm long past the point of going, it's going to be Alex Scott or it's going to be Tchouaméni. I mean, look, this list here, let me read it out. So this is a list of definitive, i.e. definite, targets that United have gone for and not got since January. Tell me your thoughts on this, because this is not speculation. These are all players that have had credible long-term sources talking about them, journalists, that United never came out and said we weren't doing it. Remember with Romero, they came out within 24 hours and said we're not interested. So Semenyu, we bid for and we lost out to. Elliot Anderson, we wanted all season and we didn't get. Diamande was the player that we were going for 3 months after Semenyu. We didn't get him. Mateus Fernandez, we battled with Spurs for, we didn't get him. Tonali, we spent 2 months briefing that we wanted him. We didn't get him. Bruno Guimaraes was in the international break, remember, for 2 weeks. We didn't get him. Tchouaméni, obviously, we haven't got him. And we're now on to Lewis Hall. So that's 8 players in 6 months that United have been in for and not got. So with 3-4 weeks left in the window, I'm sort of past thinking we're going to get a player of that quality. And I'm sort of going, if it's Kone, if it's Camavinga, let's just crack on with it. Let's just crack on with it. I know it's not the summer we thought it was going to be, and I think the summer has been pathetic. But with 4 weeks left in the window, if it's Camavinga or Kone, are they going to bench Santos? I don't know. Are they going to compete with Santos? Yes. I think that's just what we need now. We've got Tielemans and Mainoo. We've got Santos. Get another midfielder in to compete with him. And let's get on with the season. So look, would I have wanted Camavinga at the start of the summer transfer window? No, I'd have been saying Elliot Anderson. I'd have been saying Tonali. I'd have been saying Mateus Fernandez. I'd have been saying Tchouaméni. But where we are now, I probably would take Camavinga. And I'll still say it's been a pathetic transfer window, but I still think someone like Camavinga would give us something. So look, maybe that is the player United are waiting on. Certainly over in Spain, that's what they think. They don't think it's Tchouaméni. They think it's Camavinga. And this is a player that Real Madrid want to sell. Like, Tchouaméni is not for sale for Real Madrid. There is theories that if they get Rodri, they might sell him. I don't think they will. I think if you are a Man City or an Arsenal or a Real Madrid, you want Rodri and Tchouaméni because it's a long, hard season. And, you know, you want competition for places. I don't think Tchouaméni is the player. I think it could be Camavinga. Would you go for Camavinga or Kone? You know the poll was coming. Let me know your thoughts on that. But look, whatever we're going to do, let's make sure that we do something in the midfield because, it definitely needs to happen. I mean, look, I just want to say this has got nothing to do with Mason Mount or Luke Shaw or Harry Maguire. And I'm sure I'm being called negative again, but this is my community to vent and therapy, as it is yours. And when I woke up this morning and I was doing some work, I was up quite early this morning, I saw Man United drop a post at about 8 o'clock, motivational start of the week. It was Mason Mount, Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire in training. And I had to get up and walk into the garden and just do a couple of circuits of the garden, which is not very big, because I was like, I don't even think they're taking the piss. I actually think they think posting a picture of Mason Mount, Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire in training on a Monday morning is going to make Man United fans feel happy. I had to get off from my working desk and take a walk around the garden. It wound me up. And it's got nothing to do with Mason Mount, Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire. It's that Manchester United think that's a motivational start to the week with 4 weeks to go, that we should be motivated by seeing Harry Maguire, who is 34 this season, Luke Shaw, who is 31 and can't run anymore, and Mason Mount, who's missed 50% of our games in the last 3 years. And I'm meant to wake up on a Monday morning and go, come on, fucking get in. You know, it's like, but that's the club. That's the club. And, you know, people can say that's negative if they want, but I would say if you're waking up on a Monday morning, checking your socials and seeing those three in training and going, fucking hell, we're going to do it. I think it's utterly depressing. I really do. And it's got nothing to do with those players. You know, Maguire's going to be useful this season. Hopefully Mason Mount will stay fit. And Luke Shaw, I mean, hopefully he can do something. But it's not really motivational on a Monday morning to see that. I think it highlights the problem, actually. Maybe the admin's gone rogue. Maybe he's doing it on purpose to say, help us, help us. But it has to, we have to start doing something. Because if we have another week like the last 2 weeks, I'm massively confused. I'm really confused. So let's talk about Lewis Hall. Obviously, some people are putting their comments in. I'll come to those as well. On Lewis Hall, is it going to be a big week for Lewis Hall? I think a lot of people are asking, is it going to be a big week for Manchester United? To which there are no guarantees. I think you want it to be. I definitely want it to be. But you really do struggle to sort of, look, you can't start a fire without a spark, and there is no spark at the moment, but a spark can happen like that. It only takes one spark and we're moving on a player. And at some point in the next 4 weeks, we will move on a player. So there's no point sitting here and saying, oh, we're not going to do anything, because we will. We're not doing anything at the moment, but we will do something. The question is, when are we going to start doing it? We've spoken about the midfield there and how Camavinga could be the opportunity for Manchester United, if that's the player they're waiting on. It won't be Alex Scott we're waiting on, by the way. I mean, that Bournemouth are literally want 80 million quid. That's not United's budget. So, you know, forget that. in relation to Lewis Hall, I find I can only give you my opinion on this because I saw another quote. I think it was Andy Mitten again saying that Lewis Hall would be amenable to a move to Manchester United. And someone was saying, oh, we've got a new word for transfers this summer. And amenable means willing to agree, open to persuasion, or answerable to a law or authority. Well, we're not a law or authority. So let's say amenable means open to persuasion, willing to listen to ideas or suggestions. So, you know, amenable means that potentially Lewis Hall could be persuaded to sign for Manchester United. But my big, big concern with the Lewis Hall story is, and look, we know who these people are. You know, I mentioned last night, apparently Santos is the best midfielder we've had in 10 years, despite not playing a competitive game yet. There are people getting very, very excited about Lewis Hall. We can all see it. My concern is that at what point is this even doable? Like, at what point can we even make this happen? It's ridiculously difficult, as a few people in the chat are saying, but I don't think it'll happen. I know I've already said I'll run around with my top off in the garden, but, you know, I'd happily do that. And Ricky said he'll come down and do it with me. So, you know, two for one. But I don't see how it happens. I don't see how it happens. And Lewis Hall being open to the idea isn't Lewis Hall forcing a move, is it? Amenable is not a transfer request. Open to persuasion is not a transfer demand. I don't know how this deal happens at the moment. It's like, you know, being in your kitchen and someone saying bake is a chocolate cake and you look in the cupboard, there is no chocolate, there is no flour, there is no eggs. You know, you've got bits of pasta, a melon and some milk. You're not going to make a chocolate cake, are you? I haven't got the ingredients. So the demand for it is there from the fan base, but where are the ingredients for this deal? Lewis Hall is open to persuasion, so we've got to persuade him. Newcastle don't want to sell. If they do sell, they want a replacement in first and they want massive money. And there's only 4 weeks left in the window. So I feel like, and I'll forget this list, but I feel like with Lewis Hall, and you can't blame me for what I'm about to say, with Lewis Hall, as much as I'd be over the moon with signing him, is he not just another perfect signing for us that we've expressed interest in and haven't got done? Semenyu, Diamande, Anderson, Tonali, Fernandez, Tchouaméni, Bruno Guimarães, and now Lewis Hall in the space of 6 months. I just think it's another Semenyu. I think it's another Diamande. I think it's another Fernandez. I just cannot get excited about this because I think we've been let down so many times. Even Belabor a year ago was a player that we thought we might get and we didn't. So I think we've become the masters in leaking that we want a good player and then not signing them. And I suppose I'm at that point now where I don't get excited about it. I think we're meant to get excited about it. I think United want the social media boost and interest around a positive story without actually signing the player. I actually think this is a new tactic of the club now. I don't think they had a problem for 9 months saying that Elliot Anderson was the priority and then him signing for Man City, which I think is a problem, by the way. I think that's a real problem when you brief David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano for 9 months that Elliot Anderson's your priority and then he goes to Man City. That's not something we would have been putting up with even 10 years ago, let alone under Sir Alex. Can you imagine under Sir Alex Ferguson as saying, yeah, we really want Wayne Rooney all season. He's an amazing player. He's perfect for Man United. We really want Wayne Rooney. And then he goes and signs for Arsenal. And we don't... I just think it's another clear indicator of how far we've fallen away that we are now happy to say we really want Semenyu, but he's gone to Man City. We really want Matheus Fernandes, he's gone to Spurs. We really want Elliot Anderson, he's gone to Man City. We really want Diamande, he's too expensive. And that's why I don't trust the Lewis Hall story. I just feel it's another filler, another positive story where ultimately we won't sign the player. And that list is massive now. Absolutely massive. And it's a new tactic from the club. And no one can argue about it because it is. We've factually briefed that we want good players that have gone to other clubs. And then we just sit there and don't do anything about it. So Jake says, do you ever say anything positive? Yes, I do. I say a lot of positive things, but it's also an opinion show, mate. And if you've got something positive to say, the idea of the show, and I think you might be a bit slow, so I'll spell it out now because there's a lot of intelligent people in the chat. If you don't agree with what I say, you put something positive in. Because if you say, do you ever say anything positive, I win because you don't have anything to counter it with. So everything I've just said for the last 5 minutes, where's your answer to that? Because that would be really interesting. I would welcome somebody to come in and say, you know, I take on board what you're saying, Mark, about, you know, concerns around the transfer window, but this is what I think. That would be really good. But instead, you just come in with the worst argument in the world, which you can't, you can't even communicate it to us. There are 4 weeks to go in this window. We've identified 8 decent signings and not bought any of them. And it's worrying. It's worrying, mate. So if you think everything's going well, please tell us, because that would be great. Really great. So yeah, on Lewis Hall, I'm a little bit like, let's see what we can do this week. It could be a big week, but I still remain skeptical about it happening. And if it did happen, oh my God, I think he's the perfect left back for us. He's my number one choice at left back, and we do need a left back. He reminds me of Luke Shaw when Luke Shaw was good. So I would love to sign Lewis Hall, but I just don't trust it. I just don't trust it. I really don't. And I'd love to be wrong. As for Lewis Skelly, the interesting thing about Lewis Skelly is I would much rather have Lewis Hall over Lewis Skelly. But when you actually look out there, Arsenal fans are like, you're not having him anyway. So I don't even think he's really for sale, Lewis Skelly. And they're even worse than Lewis Hall. Lewis Hall story, you just think we won't pay for him. The Lewis Skelly one, I'm not even going to get involved in it because Arsenal don't want to sell him. And when we don't get him, they'll just banter us. So I think with Lewis Skelly, it's more of a, you know, more speculation than anything. Chris says, this was our chance. City, Liverpool and Chelsea are all in transition and our targets were clear. Rivals have taken and left us behind. Agallo type deals incoming, says Chris. We need to trust Amas, Lacey, JJ like we did with Rashford, says Akoro. Look, if there, you can't blame Michael Carrick for recruitment. Michael Carrick has an opportunity to use Shay Lacey this season, and that's going to be really exciting. I think for Thwaites and JJ, I actually did a tweet about this yesterday. The one thing that's exciting me about this summer is the fact that Lacey looks like he's ready and should be used. And I would use Thwaites and JJ around first team training as much as possible and maybe give them minutes here and there. But I wouldn't be expecting them to be starting games for United this season, but I'd certainly be trying to get them involved in Carabao Cup games and maybe a bit of Champions League football, etc. But Lacey, I think, is a player that we really should be using. Forget Hall if Ricky's taking his top off, says Stephen. Camavinga on loan, want Belaba next year if he does well, says ML3. You'd think Old Trafford Malik says, you'd think we'd have a better window. I don't know what that means. What's your top five prediction this season, says Tom Thorntrick. I think that I don't think Chelsea have had a great window. I think Liverpool look a bit vulnerable. I think Spurs and Villa are unpredictable. So I'd still go Arsenal, Man City, and third place is up for grabs. Yeah. Old Trafford Malik was talking about the documentary. We'd have a better window. But the thing about the documentary is that could be 20 million quid in Man United's pocket. If somebody says to you, there's 20 million pounds, Man United might just go, it's 20 million pounds. They might not think about, oh, there's 20 million pounds. Let's spend another 100 to make ourselves look good in it. They might just see the profit. Look, I agree with you. If someone was having access to Old Trafford for a whole season and Carrington, I'd want us to look good on the pitch. But you probably have to lose the 20 million there. You know, Whereas Man United like might look at the 20 million as pure profit and go, let's take the 20 million. So they might not be looking at it as a, let's buy a load of players in to look good. They might be looking at it as a bit of a profit thing and not care about the kickback. Because ultimately, you know, if it's a bad season, it's probably going to get more views, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Camavinga deal is giving me Di Maria vibes. Well, I Irish Beckham, I'm glad you've said that because on the poll, Camavinga or Kone, 62% of you've gone with Kone and 38% of you've gone with Camavinga. I am with the 62%. I actually think Kone is better than Camavinga for what we need right now. I think Camavinga still has potential and is a little bit younger. I also know that Kone wants to sign for Manchester United. Now, Camavinga wants to stay at Real Madrid. You're absolutely correct to mention Di Maria. Absolutely. So I completely agree with you. Kone, I think, is a better fit for what we need. And he also wants to sign for Manchester United. Would Man United not be contradicting what their big thing is? We only want players that want to play for Man United. Well, Kone wants to play for Man United. Camavinga wants to stay at Real Madrid. Obviously, that's the deal I would go with. I think Camavinga is a good player, but you know, you're trying to convince somebody that doesn't actually want to come. Rory C says, Romano deletes tweets when he's wrong. Ornstein said we would be the busiest club this window. Don't always take them for their word, says Rory. I will defend any decent, credible journalist. I mean, we know Fabrizio Romano's journey because he wasn't that big when we used to have him on the show all those years ago. And he's absolutely huge now. David Ornstein is a, you know, an established, credible, respectable journalist as well. With Man United this summer, though, the vast majority of information we've had hasn't come from within the club, whereas last summer, most of it came from within the club. Why is that? Because Man United are a pain in the arse to get anything out of this summer. Now, I think that's probably a good thing, but you can still get that information. The message out of Man United all summer is we're relaxed. That, you know, anybody who's got sources at United will agree with this. United's messaging is we are relaxed. We are relaxed about what we're doing. We're not panicking. We're confident we're going to have a good summer transfer window. So, you know, there's not a lot to say in relation to Manchester United, but there is a lot you can get. Like, I heard somebody the other day say that Santos and Tielemans came completely out of the blue. Well, they didn't. You just don't want to respect the people who were talking about it. Ben Jacobs mentioned Santos in January and in March and in May. So we knew United had an interest in Santos. It wasn't completely out of the blue. I think it did shock people, but it wasn't a completely not mentioned story. As for Tielemans, 24 hours before it came out, I knew about it. That's why I put the tweet out. So it wasn't completely out of the blue. But where I would agree that it's difficult for a Romano or a David Ornstein this summer in relation to Manchester United is they're not directly being briefed about talks with players weeks in advance. Now, you go back to last summer, David Ornstein put it out there that we were in talks with Baleba. And I think we all thought that deal was going to happen because David Ornstein is saying that we're in talks. And when we're in talks, it normally happens. They're not doing that at the moment. The Kone talks didn't come from the club. So Man United have got this policy this summer of not telling anybody what they're actually doing, whereas they normally do. So the information has to come in from other ways. And the problem with that is that, and I think we'd all agree on this, if you know the agent of Matheus Fernandes, and Matheus Fernandes' agent tells you that Man United are in advanced talks, that's absolutely fine. But you don't know whether Man United are going to pull out. And then you don't know whether Man United are going to put a bid in. And that's the thing with United this summer, I think. And Emily Derry said it before, so I'll give it credit. What was the plan coming into the summer and what's the plan now? Because you might be a journalist who knew exactly every player that Man United wanted this summer in May. But it's not what we want now, is it? It's been a really strange summer in the sense that you could probably say today Man United might not know what they want in the next 4 weeks. So it's very difficult to predict or find out what the club is trying to do when they probably don't know themselves. I mean, we shouldn't, well, we should. I saw a journalist yesterday say that Jason Wilcox is spearheading the chase for Lewis Hall. And I was like, this is where it becomes problematic, because that's shit journalism. It's tiresome, it's inflammatory, and it's a waste of time. Jason Wilcox is not spearheading anything. Favell is not spearheading anything, and Michael Carrick is not spearheading anything, because we all know, well, those of us who are intelligent know, that's not how Man United's transfer policy works. Jason Wilcox can't say, I'm in Newcastle spearheading the Lewis Hall deal. He has to put it through Carrick, he has to put it through Favell, he has to put it through Jim, he has to put it through Berarda. Jason Wilcox cannot spearhead anything unless everybody else agrees with it. But you still get stories like that. So, look, the truth is out there, but it's muddied at the moment and it's difficult to understand what we're doing. We're not in talks with anyone. We will be in talks with somebody and it will come out, but it's a confusing time. It's a confusing time. I speak to people, I'm sure you read other articles and stuff. It's confusing around Man United at the moment, because we really do need to do three big deals in 4 weeks and we're not in talks with anybody and the clock is ticking down. Now, in answer to the question, because I've been asked this a lot and I've spoken to a lot of people about this, do you think United aren't going to do anything in the next month? I think that's a fear. I think it's a bit over the top, sensationalist. Nobody out there is saying that United aren't going to do any more business. I think if they didn't do any more business, there probably would be riots, protests, maybe riots. But we will do business. You know, if I was negative, I'd say, no. We will do business. We will do business. How much business, at what value, no one can say. But we will do more business. How many players more we'll buy? Maybe it'll be one. Maybe it'll be two. Maybe it'd be four. I would say two. Two decent deals left, I think, is what we've got. Maybe a third, very, very cheap. But I think we've got two deals left in us. Who they're going to be, I don't know. The interesting thing for me is, who is the left back? If Lewis Hall is unlikely, who is the left back? There is no talk. There is literally, you give me a name. I'll give you a name, Truffert. I'll give you a left back name. You know, I can give you names, but are we talking to any? No. So at least in midfield, you can say, well, Kone, we've spoken to. We could resurrect Belabor if we got really desperate. It could be Camavinga. You know, in a sensational fantasy, it could be Tchouaméni. But at left back, if it's not Lewis Hall, I don't know who it is, and that worries me. It worries me that. I will say it. I've seen this before. This is the player we want. We didn't get him, so we won't do anything. Semenyi. We bid for Semenyi in late December. We lost out. We didn't buy a winger. We wanted Lewis Hall. We couldn't get him, so we'll stick with what we've got. That's what worries me about left back is. And the cynics will say, well, you publicly go for a player you know you can't get. You live off the hype, you don't get them, and then you say, we don't want anyone else other than them, so you leave it. That worries me, is that, you know, we try to sign Lewis Hall, it's too difficult, and then we just say, well, we're not going for anybody else. Because did we not do that with Belabor last summer as well? I think we did. Well, we did. We didn't buy a midfielder, is it? So it worries me about the left back that Lewis Hall might be too difficult, but we don't have anything else to go for. Which does scare me. So it could be one more signing. It could just be a midfielder. Hopefully it's going to be three, which would be a midfielder, a left back and a backup striker. Would love to know what the meds this board is on to be so relaxed, as Tom. If we don't move now, we're beyond cooked this season. What's the delay? And Herod says, are you concerned Kone's playing in a mediocre team in a mediocre league? It's got Xerxy flop written all over it. I think you make a fair point. But what I would say is that you should never scout players on international form. However, I think when you're talking about France, to get in that France squad, you look at the players that don't get in it, you've got to be a good player. And then to actually start games for that France team, you've got to be a very good player. So you can criticise Italian football, Roma, whatever. But Manu Kone, to get in that French squad, is obviously a very, very good player. Also, I liked Kone when he was playing for Mönchengladbach in the Bundesliga, which is a lot... Well, the Bundesliga is the closest league to the Premier League. So every signing's a risk, but I think there's a lot of reasons why Kone, in many ways, would be a better signing than Ederson. I remember saying this when we were going to sign Ederson. I said, I don't know why we're not going for Kone. I actually think Kone is better than Ederson because Ederson's decent, but I actually remember saying I'd rather go for Kone. So I like Kone. I'm not saying there's not a risk, Herod, but I do like him. I'd rather Camavinga as Forza because I don't trust the club to get a left back. Kone would be perfect if Glinios was not a cancer that killed the club for profit. Yeah, so what you're saying is basically we could just use Camavinga at a left back as well. Still think we'll end up with Berg or Baleba, says Marlow. It can happen, Marlow. All I would say is if we end up with Berg or Baleba, we have gone down so far down that list that you're literally talking about option. I think you're down to option J and K. Joke. Yeah, they are on the list, but they're so far down the list that it would be, yeah, it'd be concerning. And also, remember with Baleba, he's really far down the list, but he's really expensive. At least with Sander Berg, he's option J, but he's about 35 million. With Baleba, he's right down the list, and he's about 70 million quid as well. So you're spending a lot of money on a player that's way down your list. Morning, would love to know, done that one from Tom. Oh, Emily Derry's here with a super chat. She says, last summer I was more willing to give chances. We bought in Mbeumo, Sesko and Cunha, and Baleba was not the start of a trend. Now I'm of the opinion that we can talk the talk but not walk the walk, says Emily Derry. It's going to be an interesting 4 weeks. On a positive note, I'm absolutely convinced we're going to sign players. On a negative note, there isn't a lot of time. Who are those players going to be and how many are we going to get? So, look, we're fast approaching the end of the transfer window where we give this transfer window a definitive review. It just feels very familiar. I'm not angry. I'm not frustrated. The words I use are just very, you know, to the point. It's pathetic. It's been a pathetic window. And I'd debate that with anybody. But it's not, you know, I think about previous years, you'd be ranting and raging and all this, that, and the other. It's not that. To me, it just feels very familiar. It reminds me of Mourinho's last summer. It reminds me of Moyes' first season. And how many times have we started the season without players who come in really late? And how many times have we been spending tens of millions of pounds in the last 2 weeks of the window? It just feels very familiar to me. And correct me if I'm wrong, I thought Ineos were meant to be different to the Glazers. I saw somebody yesterday describe the Glazers perfectly, and Ineos, and they basically said that it doesn't feel like Ineos have come in to change things. You know, we've been sold this whole Ineos, and it doesn't make sense because they don't own the club, but Ineos have always been seen as the, we're going to change this and that and everything like that, and we're going to make things better. Whereas actually it feels like Ineos have been brought in by the Glazers as, what's the word? Asset strippers. You know, it's almost like when you've got a business and you don't want to do the hard stuff yourself, so you bring in somebody to manage change in a way that a shield maybe. There was a specific word and basically they listed it off. They've sacked half the workforce. They've reduced the wage bill. They've reduced the transfer spend. They've hiked the transfer prices. They've basically come in and made really good decisions for the Glazers and really bad decisions for the club. So how can you say Ineos have come in and made changes for the to make things better when most of the decisions they've made benefit the Glazers? Like sacking half the workforce, that benefits the Glazers. Having a cozy relationship with the British government to get the regeneration project up and running benefits the Glazers. Raising the ticket prices benefits the Glazers. Reducing the wage bill benefits the Glazers. Reducing the transfer spend benefits the Glazers. So I think a lot of, I can't remember what the word is, but basically they're almost like that was it. Kristen's got it. They're like an administration team. They've come in to manage the administration of a club, but there's another term for it. And you can't argue with it. You literally can't argue with it because most of the decisions they've made benefit the Glazers. And yet they were meant to be coming in to phase the Glazers out. Well, we were lied to about that. Whereas actually, it's almost like they've been put in place by the Glazers to do their dirty work. Managed decline, maybe, but liquidators, maybe. Yeah. Are we just trying to cover left back and centre midfield with one player to save at the end of the window now, says Tom. But look, everyone's entitled to an opinion. Of course they are. This transfer window, to me, in a very succinct description, I would describe this transfer window as cheap. And I don't think anybody can argue with me. I would describe this transfer window as cheap. When you look at Spurs, who spend nearly £300 million and pay decent wages, we've bought two players who are on less than 150 grand a week for less than £80 million. It's a cheap auditor's mark, says Stephen. Yeah, they're like auditors. It's like they've come in and been told, get the wage bill down, get the transfer spend down, increase the profits, reduce the salary, reduce the staff, and get the new stadium up and running. I mean, you can't argue with it. You can't argue with it, can you? It's a cheap summer. It's an asset stripping summer. It's a Glazer dream. Like, we haven't spent money. We haven't spent significant money. Somebody was saying that Brighton have spent more than us, or maybe it was Fulham or something. But we all know that when you qualify for the Champions League, you get £100 million of pure profit. So we just haven't spent the money. We haven't spent the money that you would expect a club to spend. And look, people will say, well, we can't keep spending big wages. All right, okay, I think you can, but hold on a minute. We can't keep spending on big wages. Well, why not buy five players for £50 million and give them 110 grand a week? So it's not even about overspent. Yeah, you will get these people going, we can't keep spending big wages and big transfer fees. All right, let's not do that. Let's buy five people like Santos then. 100 grand a week and 50 million quid. But we've not even done that either. So you can't be defeated, can you? Because it's a cheap summer so far. You will get people going, wow, we can't keep paying 300 grand a week and we can't spend £80 million on players. Well, I think we should do, but even if we're not, why have we not spent £250 million on five £50 million players on 110 grand a week then? We just don't want to spend money. It's nothing to do with overpaying or wages. We just don't want to spend any money really, do we? So look, hopefully that will change in the next few weeks. It's ironic that Ineos think they're doing something new when all they're doing is copying former unsuccessful years. Marlo, I do think it is concerning that we are here again in the final few weeks of a window with the vast majority of our business still to do. And I definitely remember being in this situation multiple times. Even 2 years ago under Ineos, Ugarte was right at the end of the window. I think De Ligt and Mazraoui were that summer as well, were they? Or were they? No, they might have been the year before, but they were right at the end of the window as well. We just seem to have this strange tactic of doing business really late in the window. And is it as cynical as, let's save a week's wages? You know, maybe at the end of this week we sign Kone and everyone will go, well, why didn't we do it 3 weeks ago? Well, it's 3 weeks' wages, isn't it? Maybe it's that. Maybe every pound matters so much that we wait till the end of the window to save ourselves a couple of months of wages, which doesn't make any sense because we've been paying Marcus Rashford 325 grand a week for the last 5 weeks. But, you know, maybe it is about that. I don't know. They're a very difficult club to understand in relation to the speed in which they operate at. But all will become clear in the next 4 weeks. I suppose that's the positive. Cameron says, Ineos are glorified bailiffs. Thank you very much. Berg would easily start for United as Valge. Okay, I'll pull you up on this. So who does Sander Berg start for ahead of Man United's team? Because we're now dropping Santos, who's been really good in pre-season, that everybody's pretty happy with. So you're saying Sander Berg's better than Santos? I mean, I think Sander Berg did reasonably well for Fulham, but I don't see him being a starter for Arsenal, Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea. I don't, to be honest. Wilcox, worse than Woodward, won't spend, won't, and won't do a Stiller deal, left field signing or high cost signing like Pogba is useless bankers, says John James. Have you heard any more about Zaire Emery? He would be my number one, says Smoggy. And Brandon says, Bayern are looking to sell Polinia. Are you interested? Look, what I would say about both those comments is that when you look at the signings of Tielemans and Santos, Santos could be like a Zaire Emery or a Polinia or a Sander Berg in the sense that we have been linked to him before. But, you know, and it would be a bit of a shock, but we have been linked to him before. Zaire Emery for me would be a little bit, you know, I mean, look, it could, Zaire Emery would work. Like Zaire Emery, Kone, Camavinga, you can see them all working because they'd fight with Santos and not necessarily bench him. And I think the player that we bring in now needs to be somebody that competes with Santos, because if you bring Tchouaméni in, you're going to have to bench Santos. And I don't think that's fair. So, you know, Zaire Emery would be a decent signing. Kone would be a decent signing. Camavinga would be a decent signing. And they all make sense now. Where we're going to go, I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've not heard anything about Zaire Emery. I'm not expecting that to happen. Are you going to do fantasy football this year? I am, Peter. I had a year off last year, but I am going to do it this year. Welcome to the Wembiz Club, Liam. Thank you very much. Let me just double check. There was a couple of other things I wanted to bring into you. Bruno Fernandes is back today. Cunha and Dalot are back today in training with Manchester United. So they should be involved with the PSG game on Saturday. Mainoo, Rashford and Martinez are back next Monday. Martinez and Mainoo injuries are not expected to be injuries by the time they return. The reason for that is if either of them had injuries post the World Cup, they wouldn't have been allowed to go on holiday without assessment at Carrington. They didn't get assessed at Carrington, so they are not expected to be injured on their return. So, look, we do start the season 2 weeks on Saturday, so getting these players back is important. As I said, the Rashford circus starts next week. That's why I want us to do something this week. Because if we don't do anything this week, next week is going to be about Rashford back. And that's going to take every journalist and a box of tissues. They're going to be so excited about it. They won't shut up about it. So I really hope we do something this week, because it's going to be absolute circus next week. It will. And it's going to be the Rashford show. Which is one of the reasons I'm a little bit concerned about him coming back anyway. I'm concerned for him. I'm concerned for us. I think every press conference is going to be about Rashford, and every question is going to be about Rashford for the whole season. So let's hope we do actually do something this week. Rick says, what's the big TUSTF news, Mark? That's coming up later this week, mate. So get ready for that. We'll tell you when that's coming out. But yeah. We will definitely be revealing one big thing this week, so get ready for that. Tottenham are having the window Ineos promised us, says Sounddog. Yeah, look, you can win the transfer window and have a shit season. And I'm not saying Tottenham are going to finish above Man United, because I don't think they will, but they are having the sort of summer I would like. I mean, to be honest with you, would I be happy with Van Heek and Tonali and Matheus Fernandes? Yes. Yeah, I would. I'd be very, very happy with those three players. But, you know, it's not our summer. Smoggy says, didn't they restructure the debt 6 to 8 months ago with new creditors, which increased debt repayments? This type of thing will continue for decades unless there's a full buyout. City are only 5 Premier League's offers now, says Smoggy. City will surpass our Premier League wins in the next 10 to 15 years. I just think City are going to keep winning it and we're going to stop winning it. But Andy Mitten said it on Saturday, and it was a bit of a throwaway comment, but it wasn't to me. Man United can't afford these big transfers anymore. I mean, why that's okay, why that's acceptable, I don't know. But, you know, Man United cannot afford big signings anymore. Now, is that a permanent thing? Is that forever? Is that who we are? That's who runs the football club. Average angler says, what's the chances of picking up a loan deal? I mean, you know, we might loan people, but does that really help us? I mean, loan deals for Manchester United, I mean, look, you think about the loan deals that we've done, Weghorst, Igalo, Sabitzer, they're not that glamorous, are they? I think we want definitive plans. So I don't think loan deals are really going to get us excited. At what point do we force the owners out? Well, it should have happened 20 years ago, Oni, really. To get the dirty work done, you bring in a hatchet man agency, basically what Ineos are for the Glazers. It really caught my eye yesterday. Welcome to Members Club, Liam. It really caught my eye yesterday when I said it, and I can't remember the words they said, but it basically was just saying, since Ineos have come in, everything they've done has benefited the Glazers. Sacked half the workforce, got the stadium project up and running, increased ticket prices, reduced transfer spend, reduced wage bill spend. Everything they do is benefiting the Glazers. And look, I'll tell you this for free. The Glazers never would have got that regeneration project up and running. They wouldn't. They wouldn't have had the relationships with the government to get it done. That's going to make them a lot of money. And that's because of Sir Jim Ratcliffe's connections into the British government. So everything that Ineos have done so far has benefited the Glazers. I mean, just play this game. What have Ineos done to benefit you as a Man United fan? And what have they done to benefit the Glazers? And I tell you what, there will be some things that have benefited you, but the list will be far bigger in favour of the Glazers. So after 2.5 years of Ineos, they've basically benefited the Glazers more than they have the fans and the football club. And that's the fact, isn't it? It's the truth. What's your prediction for the week? Oh, you don't want to ask me that. You do not want to ask me that. Even though you just have. My prediction for the week, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say at some point this week, we're going to get United are in talks with a club for a player. That's ridiculously optimistic, but I'm going to make that prediction. I'm not going to go negative. Man United this week are going to be in talks with a club to sign a player. Hopefully it will be someone like Kone or Hall, but I'm going to make that prediction. Because the alternative isn't worth bearing thinking about that another week goes by with 3 weeks left in the window and we're not. So I'm going to go with that. That's my prediction. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Really appreciate you. We are this week. It's Monday, 2 o'clock show, 8 o'clock show, normal place. Yes. Keep your eyes peeled this week. Make sure you are tuning in. Big news coming up on the channel. Stay safe. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.